dad's going to be popping on Saturday because our boys are coming.
You ready to do the real football show?
Oh, no.
The show that we've been entrusted to do.
Absolutely.
Low these many months ago.
You look like Bernie.
Like we can do Bernie's?
Yeah.
Okay, so as you can see, I wore my special hat.
Did you buy that at Dick's?
You are non-denominational right now. That's shameful. We have no Michigan guest. It's clearly an Ohio State Homer show. How incredible is this hat?
That's an awesome hat. Is that from, I bet that place said 1982.
Mid-82, because of the big, you see the big O there. They went away from the big hanging leaf, which I've always thought is I think of as the most classic Ohio State logo. The leaf up to the left covering the logo. And then the Brutus with the bobblehead and the Fiesta hat from the Fiesta Bowl, for those watching at home on YouTube, it's pretty good.
That's true. I always liked the gray plain blocko on the grass field they had right before the turf field that they got rid of in 06.
Oh, that was
just
good.
Very, I like the color scheme. I like the simple blocko and then the Ohio State in the end zones. And now the color scheme is just completely wrong. The red in the end zone is too bright. It's not the scarlet you associate with Ohio State. It just looks bad. There are other turf fields that look good. I think Michigan's turf field looks good. I think Notre Dame's turf field looks good. I've always fought for Ohio State to go back to grass. I think that would be awesome.
Thank you.
But if you're going to have a turf field, at least make it look not ridiculous.
Why don't they follow like Boise State and it should be 5 yards scarlet, 5 yards gray,
yeah.
5 yards scarlet.
Or like Eastern Michigan. They're all gray. So
I know.
Just add
when
a little
I see,
scarlet
when
that.
I see photos from games that are played at Eastern Michigan,
so
I always
bad.
Think there's something wrong with my eyes at first.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh yeah, it's at Eastern.
It's hard to watch.
And then I figured for halftime, we talk about some enraged young man that destroyed the Brutus the Buckeye.
I did
in
not
front
see
of college
that.
Traditions down at on Lane Avenue.
Is this a Michigan man?
Well,
or,
they have a suspect. The suspect has been named in a news article out of Columbus. His name has been given as Tom Sugar.
Okay.
But we all know that is Connor Stallions.
Okay. We know
it's Connor Stallions. We know he was driving Kurt Cignetti's car. Okay. And we know that Lou Holtz encouraged them to do so.
Right.
Okay. So that's the halftime segment.
We basically have
just done it. And then we're going to just, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee with as much Ohio State, Michigan as we can.
All right. I'm trying to find. Oh, here's the quote. Here's the quote from Ryan Day. Listen to this. This is kind of crazy.
That edge, and we will because we know what's at stake. I mean, we felt what it's like to not win this game, and it's bad. It's one of the worst things that's happened to me in my life, quite honestly. Other than losing my father and a few other things, like it's quite honestly for my family the worst thing that's happened. So we can never have that happen again, ever. And that's been the approach all season. It'll be the same approach.
Family. I'm like,
are we taking the game too seriously here?
It is still a football game played by a university where kids go to school to get degrees to be upstanding members of society. It's a game played by children who are now paid millions of dollars.
Jim Harbaugh expressed kind of the same concern a few years ago. It's like, are we losing perspective on this? It's kind of crossed the line from a good, healthy hatred to just unhealthy hatred and just complete, at least, I don't know, the last few years for sure. I think it has, it's awesome that the game means everything. I think the last few years has crossed the line a little bit just for everything involved, the cheating scandal at Michigan.
Incredible.
Everything. I mean, just the hostility has never been at a higher level for either side, really. And I don't know. Do you think the game has gone too far, the wrong direction, or is that is that why we love it?
You know, Dave, it's always been serious. It goes back to before there was even football in the Toledo War, when the state of Michigan with their boy governor and the state of Ohio.
The bloodless
border dispute featuring twins named One and Two Stickney, sons of Benjamin Stickney. and they cursed across the Maumee River, and ultimately, Toledo was bestowed back to Ohio, and Michigan got the UP.
Which state won the trade? Ha, 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 ha.
But,
we've heard it. Shut up.
So it's always been a serious rivalry. But as you told me, and I honestly, I didn't know this, that Ryan Day's father took his own life when Ryan Day was a young man.
That's why he's big into the mental health initiative.
And everybody, you don't get through this run in the world without experiencing some trauma, and you have to deal with it. Mental health is important. But to compare the playing of a football game to something so traumatic
right.
as losing one's own father when you were a child, I would say that that is too serious
yeah.
and would be crossing the threshold into something unhealthy. Now, Ryan Day loves it. He signed up for it. He's paid to do it. He wants to do it. So you have to understand that part of the warrior.
You
code.
Have to, yeah. You have to appreciate how much it means to somebody. Yeah, you have to. Yeah, on the flip side of it being very unhealthy, you do have to appreciate how much he gets it, how much it means to someone who's from New Hampshire. The big criticism of him from, you know, people who are just very upset after the Ohio State losses is he's not an Ohio guy. He's from Northeast. He doesn't get it. It's like, I think he, I mean, I don't know if anybody has put more pressure on themselves than Ryan Day. I think back even to the first game, 2019, his first game against Michigan as the head coach. When they went up to Ann Arbor, they had the undefeated team. Ohio State had the undefeated team. They go up to a pretty good Michigan team, but one they're expected to beat. And they handle business, I think, 56-27. And then his post-game press conference, it was just so much relief. Even though Ohio State was world beaters that year, you could see just the weight of the planet was on his shoulders. And he knew what Ohio State, the Michigan game, means to Ohio, to the Buckeye community. For that to be the first and last win, it's kind of crazy how much this is built. And I think things are going to go well for Ohio State on Saturday, but if not, oh boy.
Well, speaking of taking it seriously, and you don't necessarily want to give the guy too much more air, but I mean, all you need look no further for taking it seriously than Connor Stallions.
Yeah.
I mean, going full Mission Impossible to help his team defeat the hated Buckeyes. And now without them, it looks like they're not as good.
Maybe he helps him get the number one recruit in the country. Did you see he was the offensive coordinator at Belleville, the school, Bryce Underwood?
I think the second richest man in the world, Larry Ellison, also had a hand in that. Again, I don't want to downplay Connor's power.
He did.
Hard to fathom.
Yeah, how about that? Michigan makes a Bryce Underwood number one recruit in the country from Belleville, about half hour outside of Ann Arbor. Grew up a Michigan fan, but was kind of put off by Jim Harbaugh not prioritizing him early in the recruiting process. And Michigan maybe got in the game a little late, so he commits to LSU. Michigan's kind of off the table. Michigan hires a new coach, Sharon Moore. They get back into the game a little bit, but let's not kid ourselves. It's probably about the money. Michigan makes a. I've seen some insider accounts where Michigan sources are pushing back. It's like, you know, this money did not have really anything to do with it. It's all a belief in playing for the worst offense in the country this year. That's what he wants to do. But no, the appeal of Michigan is easy to see. It's an awesome, awesome place. And he's going to be the hometown savior riding in to save the day. But let's not kid ourselves. I mean, he's getting a godfather offer, reportedly over $10 million for 4 years with help. Michigan's official NIL collective releases a statement thanking Larry Ellison, the second richest guy in the world.
Founder of Oracle Software.
Yeah, software tycoon who has no connection to Michigan other than the fact that not his first, not
he's
his
from
second,
the, he's from the
not
Bronx.
His third, not his fourth, but his fifth wife is a reported alum and likes Michigan. So he wants to, you know,
likes Michigan.
But probably loves Michigan. But so what the hey? What's a few? What's $5 million or whatever they're paying to land the number one recruit in the country? So
in the immortal words of Krusty the Clown, why did you do it, Krusty? They drove a dump truck of cash up to my door, and so that helps them make questionable decisions or make the choice that you weren't sure about making. You know, we have come up firing hot and heavy off the line. We haven't even had a proper introduction yet.
Oh, boy.
You know, so speaking of disguises, speaking of hostility, speaking of disgust, speaking of rivalries, speaking of taking it too seriously, we all look to Toledo Blade Sports columnist David Briggs to tell us where the ethical palindrome should switch back and forth and which side we should be on. Thank you for joining me, your host, Phil Kaplan, here on the Heart of the Rivalry, a sports show produced by The Blade, where we focus on the rivalries of Toledo and Bowling Green, and more importantly, specifically this week, the game.
Absolutely.
Ohio State, Michigan. Our entire lives have built up to this point.
I know.
Are you stoked?
I am. Should be fun. Thanks, Phil. I would say you're the moral compass of the show, though. I mean, you kind of keep us online here and keep everything in perspective. What I tend to lose myself in the heat of these games. Oh, Miami Bowling Green.
You're so inundated with information.
Ohio State, Michigan. No, but it should be a lot of fun. Michigan, Ohio State opened as a 23.5-point favorite.
Don't buy it.
That's completely nuts.
Doesn't make me feel safe.
It shouldn't. I think Ohio State certainly should roll.
They should, but...
But you never know. I mean,
Michigan, it's a rivalry.
Right. Michigan has some NFL guys on the defensive line. They have a good run defense. They have, who knows, maybe they've been saving some things in the passing game. That's hard to believe, given that they haven't shown it all year. But, I mean, it's just enough where a turnover here, a turnover there, or a bounce there. And Michigan's talented enough defensively, especially with two top 15 picks on the defensive line, to disrupt things enough to keep it interesting. This is when you think of a 23.5-point spread, you're generally thinking of like Ohio State at Purdue or one of
you,
team
you are thinking
just,
of Purdue.
Where you just totally overmatch somebody. Michigan has four guys projected to be first round picks in this year's NFL draft. So
none of them are the quarterback, and the casual fan will notice first and foremost, right. And that's what'll drive you to a middling 500 record.
And let's face it, Michigan has sucked this year.
They have sucked. They did beat the doors off of Northwestern. So at least they're coming in
Sorry,
on a
Phil.
Win. Thank you. That's okay. but I, you know, and I understand it's different eras, but you know, I remember a team with Heisman Trophy winning Eddie George. I hadn't won the Heisman yet, but all signs pointed to that happening and Terry Glenn. And we went up to Ann Arbor and Michigan had a bad team. And as my dad called him, Tim Biakaba Buttface, I don't mean to disparage Tim Biakabatuka in his 300-yard rushing day.
They were bad by Michigan standards, not this bad.
That's fine. I'm just saying.
I know.
And it's a different.
Absolutely.
The NFL's different, but the Cowboys were just a 10.5-point dog to the Commanders. But it's a rivalry game.
Yeah.
And when it comes to rivalry games, I mean, you got guys on either side, and I still think you have to throw the records out.
Sure.
It would not surprise me if this was a close game. It would surprise me if Michigan wins, for sure. I look at Ohio State sort of playing Michigan the way that Indiana did. I think it's going to be less than a touchdown, to be honest. I would be thrilled if it's 52-6, but.
No, I mean, it's you make a good point. I think the counter to that a little bit would be that would be the case in most years, not when you have Ryan Day saying the fate of the free world depends on this game. And you've lost three straight years. That's been bubbling.
That does sting.
All these guys. Jack Sawyer, JTT, and you can just go down the list of all the guys who came back for their senior year, obviously hated by a lot of bags of NIL money, but they also did not want to go out.
Krusty the Clown.
They did not want to go out with a loss to Michigan. They came back to beat Michigan, to win the Big Ten, play for a national title. So in a normal year, I would say throw the records out, and you still do. I mean, I don't think Ohio State's feeling any better about things, but I think when you combine the talent advantage this year, you combine how well Ohio State is playing, on top of the emotional edge you will have of just kind of this 3 years of pain kind of crescendoing to this moment.
And took the word out of my mouth.
You want to undam just 40. I mean, the last time they beat Michigan is in 2019. 2020 was the COVID game. So undam 5 years of frustration onto this Michigan team where you might be able to.
I know.
So I think Ohio State rolls, but absolutely, Michigan does have the talent on paper, especially defensively, to keep this close under the right circumstances.
College kids, I don't care. I don't. Once the wallets are left in the locker room.
Yeah.
And you still have college kids going up against college kids. Unless Jackson Dart is there. I don't think he's going to be, but he might be looking for a 10th year. But for the most part, college kids. So in that regard, you got to throw consistencies out. Ohio State does appear to be playing their best football at the best time of year. So you love to see that. If they get through the first quarter, you know, where they've been sleepwalking, it could be cruising. But if Michigan has a 7-3 lead at the end of the first, which is, you know, where Ohio State has found themselves in a lot of games. Could be looking at an all-day affair. I'm going to be there.
Nice. So will I.
I know you're going to be there.
Where are you sitting?
I'm sitting with my old man. And
oh, ADEC. Oh, the, man. All
he's
right.
He's got the premium seats. I can't wait.
Love it. What time are you guys getting there for tailgating?
I usually go to an earlier game with him this year, but I wasn't able to do that. So this would be my only game with him this year. Going to be cold. I hope it snows. Doesn't look like it's going to snow. But,
what time are you getting there for tailgating?
We're six, actually going 6:30, down. We're actually, so Friday at 7.
Oh, nice. You're bringing the RV in 7 o'clock?
Well, you know, I'm glad you brought that up. I can't leave Toledo until we're finished with our, I always mess this up, our Rally of the Rivals.
I saw something about the paper.
Down
the paper.
At Fleetwoods.
What is that?
Well, you know, Fleetwoods hosts a party, and we get to be part of that party. It starts at 3, it goes until 6. We're just the opening act, so if you want to see us, interview a couple Ohio State players, a couple Michigan players, and Mayor Wade Kapuscevich, come down to Fleetwoods at 3. Dave and I will be there. We'll be on stage. Dave, have you ever done a live spot?
Not a show like this. Done like live TV hits or live things, but yeah.
No, are you comfortable running your mouth in front of people?
We'll have to have the will we have the 3-second delay for the that's unfortunate. I mean,
the curse button.
So hopefully we'll have somebody back at the Blade running the delay. And
is your chance to get your MFs out there.
No, it should be a lot of fun. It's an alternate universe. Don't need to worry about that.
We do not. Speaking of alternate universes, is that where Toledo played the Bobcats? Did I see that Kyle Rowland, our UT beat writer, wrote that UT averaged almost 0.0 yards per rush against the Bobcats? What happened?
It was not a good performance for Toledo. I think if you went into this year replacing the offensive line, replacing the quarterback, replacing a ton of production at every level of the offense and defense, 8-4 would have been a pretty decent year. And they're 7-4 now. They go to Akron tonight. Toledo's 8-point favorite. You would think
at InfoCision Stadium.
You would think they'd be able to win, but so when you're watching this, it'll be either 8-4. 8-4, the Heat will go down. 7-5, everybody will be out for everybody's heads. It's been I think what it comes down to is Toledo has a pretty good team this year with one absolutely fundamental fatal killer flaw, and that's the offensive line in the run game. Again, replacing all 5 offensive linemen, and on top of that, they've battled injuries, so they've just never been able to get anything going. Toledo, when they're at their best, which is pretty much not at their best, but pretty much every other year, they have a very good run game, and that plays really well. And the wind and the snow and the cold of November, you can balance your offense. Toledo this year has 0 run game.
0.0.
Almost. Blutarski. And they... they're, I think, 122nd in run game for a school. Think of all the great running backs they've produced. I mean,
Isn't there only 134.
Horrible. Think of just in the Candelaria alone, the great running backs. I mean, Kareem Hunt, Terry Swanson, Brian Kobach, Penny Boone, all first team All-Mac guys. Kareem Hunt, freaking NFL rushing leader. And to have it like this is pretty alarming. So that's the one thing they absolutely need to get fixed in the offseason. They need to figure out the offensive line. They need to figure out the run game. Other than that, I guess how was the play, Mrs. Lincoln? But it's. I mean, I wrote in my column, it's a good team with just kind of a fatal flaw. And with that kind of fundamental flaw, it's actually pretty impressive that they're in this position right now to go 8-4. Almost every other MAC school in the league would kill for this to be your down year. But Miami 6-1 in the MAC, Bowling Green 6-1 in the MAC. Everything's on the line for BG here, and this is what Scott Loeffler's program has built to for the last 6 years. I mean, just slowly but surely, he's built an old, consistent, veteran, talented team that looks to be ready to take that next step. And I expect them to beat Miami in kind of a both very physical teams, but I expect in front of the home Black Friday crowd, BG's able to take that next step, which would be great to see for its fan base. And yeah, that should be a fun game.
Talons up. finally, the game. Michigan Wolverines visit the Ohio State Buckeyes in the Horseshoe. Do you know what edition of this, the game this is?
Well, the 100th edition was in 2003, and then the COVID game was a wash, so do the math. I guess it's the 120th playing of the game.
I was going to say, are we doing it the 120th? Yeah. Okay, so what's your prediction? Ohio State 120, Michigan -3? An old the Bears prediction?
You think it'll be that close? Yeah, I mean, I would conservatively, I'd probably say Ohio State 74, Michigan 3.
Conservatively? Yeah. Conservatively. Okay, you're
no, they're I'd gonna, say gonna my, step on my, the gas. My official prediction would be a 23.5-point spread. I don't know. It's just
too
I would,
big.
If I gambled, I would not touch that.
Nope.
But I would say Ohio State 34, Michigan 17.
I'm going to give actual figures here. I'm going to say Ohio State 28, Michigan 20, Michigan with a late touchdown to make it closer on the scoreboard. Okay. So I'm going to say 28-20. Okay. I'm looking forward to this one.
Yeah, it should be fun.
I am. But I think the sting of three consecutive losses and also knowing that they're just down.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
that's the case for a 40-point win as well.
It is the case for a 40-point win. You make a strong case for the Heart of the Rivalry being a 40-point favorite over any other sports show, and I endorse that. I would lay money on the Heart of the Rivalry, but I would not touch the game. I can't bet. I do place some wagers, but I would never bet on this game.
Yeah.
I just couldn't. My heart would be too confused, no matter what.
Right.
You know?
Well, you could bet for Michigan and then be happy either way.
No. No.
You'd rather Ohio State win?
Oh, God. That's the worst kind of... Yeah. That's like something from a horror movie.
Right.
Doing something like that to
yourself. Would you rather Ohio State win or win $500 in a bet for a game this big this weekend?
So I win $500, but Ohio State loses.
Right.
Or Ohio State wins and I don't get $500. Ohio State winning.
Yeah.
Okay. I can get $500 just walking down the hallways of the Toledo Blade.
That's right. Well, you got the... what is your plasma...
You're not really throwing it back to the old college days. He's Dave Briggs. I'm Phil Kaplan. We will see you Friday at Fleetwoods and then next week to talk about what happened in these big time college football rivalry games.
Thanks, Let's Dave. Go.
Oh, wait.
Go, go.
You know what? I'm going to ask you to see if it's in the. And then we'll win the game or know the reason why. I wanted to ask you to tell us why we win the game and if possible, why would we have to know the reason why?
That's true.
What does Michigan to do to win? But we all know that it's just Connor Stallions helicoptering in like fan man in the old Tyson Holyfield fight.
We don't give a damn for the whole state of Michigan in Ohio. Dun, 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 dun.